Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. Thank you for listening. This last weekend was such a great weekend. There were so many unexpected plans that developed. I don't know if you've ever had one of those weekends where just things go completely differently than you thought they were, and it just everything turned out great. And so we had a lot of great time with great fellowship, with old friends, new friends, and got into a lot of great discussions, which I want to talk about today, including one about things like Nintendo, and we're going to talk about healthcare. And then I also want to talk about maybe one of the best first steps to starting your own business or side hustle is to start working from home. So we're going to talk about those things today. Before we get into it, I want to talk about an email I got this weekend of a gentleman who emailed me and said, I love your show, which thank you very much, and I want to do the business plan. I have an idea. I want to write a business plan. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get it to you in time for the contest. And I offered him that I would be more than happy to review it for him, even if you don't get it into the deadline. Now, granted, you're not going to be in the contest, but I will still review the business plan for him, even if he gets it late. I would love to do that because I want to make you guys successful. It's not just a saying I have to fill the opening of the show, but I really want you guys to be successful. And I bring that up only to say, for any of you who are thinking about doing it but haven't started and you're thinking, oh, there's no way that I could get a business plan completed by the end of next month, that's a good word, by March 31st. And so you're thinking about not even doing it. I would just encourage you to still do it, especially if you're thinking about starting your own business or have an idea that you want to see if there is any opportunity for it to become a business. I just really encourage you to do it. I'd be more than happy to look at it for free. Just send it over to me and I can review it, even if it's not for the contest, that is, before you get it into me for the deadline. I'd be more than happy to look over it. If you have any questions or comments, if you want to give me any topics you would like me to discuss, you can reach out to me at matthowtobuildatent.com. You can also find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. And we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You can go over temporarily to crosspolitic.com, soon to be Fight Laugh Feast or flfnetwork.com. Go become a member. If you put an HTBT in the memo field, get a sweet mug. You get tons of benefits that the Fight Laugh Feast Network is putting out. Get a great Bible study by Toby Sumpter going through Proverbs. It's been such a blessing to me. I love listening to Toby go through the Proverbs. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal resource to have for club members. So go over there. Don't forget to put HTBT in the field so you get this free mug. You also get tons of other benefits as well. Please be praying for us as we're growing as a network, as individual shows. I just really appreciate all of your prayers. Someone, a listener, just emailed me, or he messaged me actually, and just asked, hey, what can I pray for you for? And that was just such a blessing. So you know who you are. Thank you so much for doing that. I really love hearing from you guys, and especially when you guys offer to pray for me. That's such a blessing. So thank you for that. And I just want to say, I pray for you guys too. And I just pray that God will be speaking to you, will be working through your businesses, through your careers, and that you would be able to glorify God because of the blessings and all the things that he's doing in your life. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is Nintendo. It's funny, as a kid, I played Nintendo. Now as an adult, I invest in Nintendo. And I'm going to bring this story up because I want you to start thinking the same way as I told this guy I was talking to about, talking to him about this about as well. And how the story went is we were going back and forth talking about how our portfolios did the last week. We often compare our portfolios to see who did better, one up one another. And I showed him how I was doing the week over week, and he was impressed. And I was then shared with him a tip that I thought Nintendo was going to be a smart buy. And I bought a bunch of shares Monday. So this is coming out Tuesday. So the day before. And I just thought that the stock was undervalued. It was towards the 52-week low. And we heard really good news coming out from the company. They're doing really well with their products. And it just looks like they were shaping up to have a great year. And he said, hey, I heard that news. I thought about it. I never thought to invest. And this is the point that I want to drive home for you, is be thinking in investment terms, be thinking in opportunistic terms for your businesses, for your careers, no matter if it's investing in a stock or starting a company, filling a need, seeing a pain point that you can solve. You should be conditioning your mind to be looking at opportunities as they come along and be thinking, how can I take advantage of this? How can I leverage this opportunity? God brings things through our paths all the time that we can take advantage of and provide value to others and make a profit for ourselves. And Nintendo is a perfect case of that. You think about a gaming system. I mean, how often do you think, oh, that is a great investment opportunity, video games? But it turns out in this case, it looks like it will be. Now, I'm not saying go out and buy Nintendo, do your own research. But what I'm saying is no matter what you are doing, be thinking of ways to make the most of the opportunities, as Paul says, redeeming the times, not just for the gospel, but also for your careers and where you are in a family, because being able to take advantage of those opportunities is one of the great things about being in America. America is one of its big strengths, is the opportunities it provides through so many people in their entrepreneurial spirit, through the opportunities, through the systems that are in place, the stable government that we have, the rule of law, even though we don't agree with all the laws all the time. Those are great advantages we have, and we need to be thinking in that mindset constantly, that what can we take, what information, what news, what opportunities, what acquaintances can we use to better others and better ourselves through businesses, through investments, and those kinds of things. So think Nintendo-like. The second point I wanted to bring up that was just an interesting conversation. It's not really related at all, so these topics are not related, and I apologize for it, but these were conversations I had with people I was meeting with this weekend, and I just thought they were interesting conversations that I really enjoyed, and I thought you would enjoy them too. And one of the dinners that I was at, we had a lot of healthcare professionals. We had a doctor, two nurses, and we had a gentleman who actually, I was on his podcast this weekend, Theo Tech, Chris Lim. If you want to check that out, I'll let you guys know when that comes out. I'm not sure, but we had a great 45-minute discussion just on business, technology, and he is a great Christian brother, really intelligent, really great guy. Go check out Theo Tech. He was actually on this show a while back, so check out his podcast, and I'll let you know when I'm on that. Anyways, so we were talking with him, this like super smart technology guy, some nurses, and a doctor, and we were talking about the healthcare industry, and one of the things we were discussing is how hospitals are innovating, not necessarily to better a patient experience, but to leverage big data and to find ways to be more efficient and to cut costs. And we were trying, and we're not trying, but we were just discussing and going down different channels of why is that? Why do hospitals not care so much about the patient that they're really willing to invest money to make their experience better, to allow data to transfer from hospital to hospital faster, for documents to be uploaded faster, for doing digital signatures versus paper and fax? We were going through all this and we were just talking about like, what is this hangups? And we were talking about HIPAA violations and all the regulations. And we were going through all these things and it came down to this, and I want to share this with you because maybe some of you are in the healthcare industry and have some power to change this. I mean, there's thousands of you out there. Who knows where, if some of you are in positions to make changes on this, and is that the reason why healthcare professionals or management, I'm not so much saying the doctors or the nurses, but the people that run the hospitals, the reasons why they're reluctant or hesitant or even apathetic to innovating and creating better customer experiences from a patient standpoint is because the patient isn't really the customer at all. And that is one of the downfalls of our healthcare industry that really needs to change before we're going to start seeing improvement in that area. Obviously, there's the typical tort reform that would be really helpful to get rid of frivolous lawsuits so doctors don't have to run every test when they know that certain tests aren't going to reveal anything, just so that they don't get sued for malpractice. But we need the patient to become the customer again, because right now we have a third party that's the customer, the insurance company, or sometimes even the government, now under the Obamacare Healthcare Act, Affordable Health, what is it, ACH? Affordable something Healthcare Act. And what happens is the customer, the one with the money, gets all of the attention. They have the power. And that's not the patient. And that's one of the sad things about our healthcare system and our capitalist society. Because our capitalist society works best when a transaction is done between two parties, a customer and a business. But when you get a third party involved, someone always suffers in that relationship, or usually does, I should say. And in this case, when the decisions are made between the insurance agents and the insurance company and the healthcare administration, that kind of puts the patient in the back. And it can happen through denied claims, it can happen through partial coverage, and it can happen through all those different things. The hospital cares so much about the patient that they don't want to get sued. They don't want to have any violations from HIPAA. But as far as patient care, as far as streamlining the patient, focusing on the patient as the customer, they're not the customer. The customer is the paying party, which is the insurance company. And the sad fact is most patients don't understand the costs that go into their medical, their hospital visits, their surgeries, their medication. They're very expensive. And if there could be some way for us to shift the industry back where the customer is responsible for how much money that they are paying for their healthcare, I think we would be in a lot better shape. If they knew how much a doctor in this city cost versus city A cost versus doctor in city B cost, and could shopped around for the best doctor, for the best price, for the best surgery, for the best hospital. Well, you don't even think like that really right now. We think of, oh, this is just my doctor, he got some good reviews. But you don't ever factor in the cost. And what other industry do we do that in? It's very few. You shop around when you buy a car, you look not just for the features that you want, but for the price point. And you go back and forth between companies to see which one is going to be the one that fits all of your criteria and what fits in your price point. You do that with houses. You do that with so many things, but we don't do it with healthcare. And that is one of the things that is limiting the innovation with patients in hospitals and getting medical care. So if you are in the healthcare industry, start thinking about how ways that you can give power back to the patient and how you can streamline those services. Another thing that was interesting that the doctor was saying at that dinner was that he would say that he uses his mind for actual medical research or problem solving, because that's what they do is problem solve, right? They try to figure out what the cause is. Probably 10 to 15% of the time, the rest of the time is paperwork. If you are in hospital management, it should be a no-brainer. You need to hire just some low-skilled people to do the paperwork, the data admin, and save your hospital so much money. I think the doctors are probably the highest paid people at the hospital, and you have them doing data entry administration paperwork. You need to get some people that you like at a fourth or a fifth or even like a tenth of the cost to do that for you, and you'll save so much money as a hospital. That blew me away. Doctors should be doing doctor things. They shouldn't be doing paperwork. So another tip if you're in the hospital industry, and if you are and you're like, Matt, you're crazy, you have no idea what you're talking about, email me, let me know. I'd love to hear your perspective if you are in the hospital industry. So today, my son walked for the first time. And I got to see it because I work at home. I'm, you know, as a consultant, as somebody who has career opportunities where I get to work from home, it's such a blessing. And one of the ways it is a blessing is I get to spend time with my kids. I get to spend time with my wife. I get to see those opportunities. And it just made me want to encourage you guys to consider trying to work from home, especially if you have both parents working, at least one of you to be at home to be with the kids. Maybe you can do like a hybrid healthcare kind, or not healthcare, I'm still on the last topic, some kind of childcare system. But I would just really highly encourage, and I'm telling you, now that I have a kid, working from home has been so much better. I don't think I could ever go back to working in an office way. And like, no matter what business I start, no matter what kind of consulting jobs I have, I think that's gonna be like one of my requirements. And it might be difficult for you to do, but there are a lot of great benefits of it. And I wanna go through three of them. And one of them is obviously you get to spend time with your family more and you get to see them when you're on lunches, when you're on breaks, when you have some downtime. Like there's nothing more I'd rather do than spend time with my family. And it's such a blessing. And if you are in a position that you love and you don't want to change, but maybe you would like to work at home part of the time or some of the time, maybe one of the things that you can do is talk to your employer and ask them if you can start working from home some of the time or all of the time. And sometimes it's a great advantage to the employer, especially if you have a large company, because a lot of times what happens is your business unit has its own cost center and they have to pay rent for your cubicle or for your office, depending on what position you have and where you're at. And it costs them money, even though it's basically an accounting transfer of money from one business unit, one cost center to another. But it costs them money. And if you could work from home, they don't have to pay for that section anymore. So that could be a good leverage point for you. Now, the second thing that is a great advantage for working from home is the time you get back. And this goes with the question I'm about to ask you, is goes with the first part too, is how much is your time worth? How much time with your family is it worth? And how much time is your time worth just in the day? If you think about it, if you work from home, you don't have to deal with traffic. You don't have to deal with dressing up in business clothes and getting and shaving every day and however long. Hopefully you still shower. Hopefully you still use soap. But there's a lot less time between work or between your home, getting ready for work, then going to work, and then coming home. I mean, some of us, depending on where we live, your commute's like an hour. Imagine saving 2 hours a day every day for the week. That's 10 hours a week you are getting back. Not only do you have that time to do something else with, but you're gonna be so much more energized. I don't know about you, but when I'm in traffic, I'm constantly drained. I am exhausted. I don't wanna do anything. I wanna go get a delicious scotch and either go to the grill or go out to eat and just call it a night. But since I don't have traffic anymore, I get so much more done. I'm so much more productive. I take those few hours every day and I can do other things with it, a side hustle, start another business, do this podcast. Just imagine what you can do with 2 hours extra a day if you were working from home. That's the average amount of time it takes to do a side hustle, something on the side to generate more income. So you could become wealthier for it. And even if you can calculate how much you can make on a side hustle doing whatever, an extra 2 hours, even if it requires a little pay cut to work from home, maybe it's something you negotiate with a new job, just you can factor that in as well. Maybe you'll end up making more money with doing that extra job instead of going through the traffic. So that's something to think about as well. And then also, so not only are you going to save time for your commute, not only are you going to have more energy, not only are you going to spend time with your family, but you're just going to have a lot more flexibility throughout the day. And that is going to be very convenient for you if you are trying to do a side hustle, start a business, or other things to generate revenue, or just find some more free time to get your energy back from saving it from going through traffic. So those are some advantages that I see. Obviously, there's downsides to it as well. There is nothing I wouldn't pay to spend more time with my family. And it's been such a blessing for me. And I just want to share that with you so that you know. I mean, that we are in a place in the digital economy where there are a lot of jobs where you can work from home. So consider that. Think about it. Pray about it. you have any questions about it or anything else, you can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Give me a follow, give me a like. If you're listening to this live stream, share it for me. I'd appreciate that. Tag a friend. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.